We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Gossip, gossip.
Gossip.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. This is Scream Queens. Would you like some gossip?
I would love some gossip, por favore.
Oh, but who are you, madame?
Nope, that's Spanish. S'il vous plaît.
Ah,
s'il vous plaît.
Je m'appelle Beck Chalwood, comédienne, writer, your new best friend.
Je m'appelle Alex J, comédienne, writer, your other new best friend.
If this is someone's first listen, they're out.
Welcome, everyone. Don't worry, don't adjust your sets.
Unless you love that. Anyway, Let's let you know real quick, in case you're confused by the accents going on. This is Screen Queens, the podcast where we watch everything on your screens. This is Monday's episode where we talk about pop culture. So we talk about everything that is not important, it bloody is.
But we pretend it freaking is.
It freaking is. But some of it is, though, actually.
Some of it actually is, it turns out, we're learning. So on today's docket, we have a quick update on the Quiet on Set documentary that we reviewed last week.
Yes.
We're going to do a little throwback Monday deep dive into a little show called The OC.
California, here we come, right back where we started from. Whoa, when did Phantom Planet get in here? Did you hear that? That was crazy.
I heard that. And I hadn't run this one by you because I just saw it on my way in. But
bring it on me.
I've got a little update for any community fans out there. Some very exciting news.
So if you're in a community, get ready.
The show community.
Oh!
Just people in a general community.
I forgot for a second there was.
I should have said community, the show.
No, that makes more sense.
It's
of
been
where
a
we
while.
Are on the Screen Queens podcast, that you wouldn't just be talking about the physical communities that people live in.
This isn't the Society and Culture podcast. This is the Screen Queens podcast.
I was like, Alexi's just going to tell about what she feels about the community. That's so crazy.
I've done some anthropology work in my spare time.
I'm also going to talk about Coachella! A little bit. Wait, so you mentioned briefly before we got in here about this Quiet on Set thing. What is the update?
So, look, I'm eating my words a little bit.
Okay.
In last week's review episode, we did Quiet on Set, and at the end of the episode, I spent a little bit of time praising the documentary makers.
Well, in the documentary as well, at the round table at the end, they were like, thank you to the producers.
They really were,
they
especially
really
Drake.
Jazzed them up.
Was saying, how comfortable they made him feel and how much they could open up. Anyway, since the documentary has come out, and especially since episode 5 has come out.
Which, again, don't watch episode 5 if you've...
Now that I've had a bit more time to sit with it, I really didn't like it, actually.
I really didn't like episode 5.
I think I was just processing it last week, but yeah.
We wanted to watch the whole thing because we wanted to tell you guys.
Yes.
Have the whole thing. And now we have the whole thing. We say, you don't need
the
whole thing.
Don't bother with Ep 5. It was weird. And that's the kind of energy that's being brought with this backlash that's happening. Was the energy of Ep 5. So since it's come out, there's been a few contributors who were either approached and included in the doc or approached and decided not to be included or whatever, who have come out and said the practices of the documentary makers was not good behind
shit.
The scenes. Yeah, such a bummer.
No.
Such a bummer.
Oh, my God. That's some inception right there of awful behavior on set. No.
Exactly. And so this is one woman especially, Raquel Lee Bolloré. She was in the documentary. There was only 2 black women interviewed. She was not the one who came back for the Ep 5, but she was just kind of featured around. She had a few little talking heads.
Oh, yeah.
So I did notice that during the first 4 episodes, she wasn't featured a lot, but it felt like she had stuff to say. Anyway, so she has come out and said she did a big TikTok on it, like a big talk to camera, really emotional. And she said basically that when she was approached and interviewed, they wouldn't tell her what it was about or what the main aim of the documentary was to expose sexual assault,
Beck.
Drake Bell. And so there was just a lot of really sneaky practices around getting these people to contribute, and they just a lot of like just not, it sounds like reality TV almost, like just a lot of not telling them what it's about, a lot of pressuring them to speak when they didn't want to speak. Raquel wasn't invited to the panel ep. And she felt really strange about that.
Nearly no one in that panel app. There was like five people.
And then that new guy who wasn't featured at all for the first four episodes came in and had a big chunk. And he was basically like, I don't know, I did remember thinking at the time, like, this guy feels like he's just trying to jump on the gravy train. Like he doesn't, he didn't have anything really to add to the story, but they got him instead of asking the previous contributors back. She said she got a call the morning ep 5 was coming out from the production, just saying like, hey, FYI, we're doing another ep. And some of the footage, because you know in Ep 5 when they said never before seen footage?
Yes.
And it was just outtakes that didn't make it to the first.
Yeah.
It was very like sensationalized kind of language.
It was.
Mm. So they used a bunch of her clips that didn't make it to the first four eps, but they didn't check with her. So she was told that she would be featured in Ep 1 and Ep 4. And that's what her contract stipulated. That's what she was comfortable with. She saw screeners, you know, before they came out. Ep 5 comes out the morning of it coming out. She gets a call being like, hey, there's a whole new episode coming out. There's a roundtable we didn't invite you to, but we're going to use some of your footage that didn't make it to the first four episodes. And you, like, you can't say anything about it, basically. So it's all really like icky kind of manipulative tactics for her. There was this lady, Chelsea Fagan. Now, she's a TikToker and she's a journalist.
Mm.
And she was heavily featured in the first four episodes. She was not affiliated with Nickelodeon at all, but she had interviewed one of the child actors, and in all the stuff I was reading about it, they didn't mention who the child actor was, I think for out of respect.
Yes.
So she's interviewed a child actor in the recent past on her podcast, one of the Nickelodeon stars.
Mm.
And so then the production company approached Chelsea Fagan and asked if they could use footage from her podcast interview with this person to use in the documentary. And then Chelsea said, no, I don't feel comfortable with that. Let me check with the interviewee.
Yeah.
The interviewee said, no, I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't want to be featured at all. And then they still used a lot of the footage and they hadn't licensed it. So just that kind of stuff. Alexa Nicholas has come out and done like a 2-hour YouTube video detailing all of the shady practices that they did to try and get her to be involved in it. Apparently, Alexa Nicholas was like consistently harassed to be on the documentary, like blowing up her phone all the time, wouldn't leave her alone when she said no.
Oh.
So a lot of the kind of like, I don't know, it just feels like there's a lot of similarities between what's going on now, like kind of coercing people to do something they're not comfortable with, but that's what the documentary is meant to be exposing in the industry.
I mean, it's nowhere near as bad as what was exposed. I think that's important.
And no one is saying that at all.
Yeah.
But it's just somewhat ironic.
It is. So obviously, like the harassing them to be a part of stuff, that's not cool. Like, that's
especially when it's something that's trauma-based.
And I just want to like say that I don't think, you shouldn't harass people who don't want to be part of it. You have to leave them. I do think if you told people that it was about exposing essentially pedophilia and child abuse that's happening behind the scenes, I don't know if they would get anyone to talk.
Maybe. But doesn't that feel manipulative though?
It is, but I think a couple of documentaries do it in order. Mm. Like with a lot of documentaries, they'll tell you what it's roughly about.
Mm.
And then also a documentary is built on the interviews you have and then the story is formed. It's like you can have like, it's like they definitely had the Drake Bell thing. Like that was clearly a backbone of it.
For sure, yeah.
But they would have gathered a lot of
more storylines.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing is interviews pieced together to tell a story.
Yeah.
And so how they would do that is people telling their own stories, which is like not exactly, it's not honest and it's not great. And then what makes it icky is they're harassing people. So it's like you're not going to get the most accurate stories. It did make sense. It does like kind of make sense because I did it. Because for anyone that didn't listen to our Quiet On Set episode, and fair enough.
Which is fine.
At the end of it, we were like, don't watch it. And I think that does speak to the overarching feeling of like, it is like important that this is like exposed, but a lot of it felt sensationalist.
And
that does feed into the culture of it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these contributors or non-contributors Like that's the vibe that they're saying is like it felt like it was kind of exploiting trauma for the sake of sensationalism. Well, like we said, you know, we did feel icky about how they showed the Ariana Grande clips
over and over.
Too much.
That was really fucked up. I like hated that shit.
Yeah. But anyway, something to chew on.
Damn. I mean, hey, if anyone out there wants notes on how to respectfully talk about victims of assault, you go to the Netflix series Cheer and you watch episode 6.
Oh, shit. Okay. I haven't.
It's you have to watch the whole of Cheer to get it. You can't just dive in. You'll be like, what the fuck is this show? But they talk about child like assault in a really way that's very respectful to the victims and puts them first.
Yes. Okay.
And is no way exploitative. Like,
interesting.
It's very much raising awareness. Anyway, now we've got the saddest part out of the way.
Look, I think all we can take from that is just there are no heroes in Hollywood.
Mm.
And when you start to feel yourself platforming someone as a hero, like I was last week about these documentary makers, just have it in the back of your head that something could come out that could flip the script.
Yeah.
Within a week. It's good. It's good learnings.
Yes.
Good learnings.
All right, what do you want to talk about next?
Should we do our little OC deeps?
Oh, my God. I thought you said our little OCD. I was like, oh, big reveal. Okay. Neurodivergent queen. Okay, I have, if you haven't seen my Instagram story this week, where were you? Who are you? Why are you living under a rock?
Come on.
Like a year ago, I think I started watching
watching
the OC.
First time, wow.
Have you, okay, because I was not allowed to watch anything other than the ABC until I turned like 15, is insane.
That's
which I didn't know was like not. That's like some Amish shit.
You poor thing.
I know.
So many cooking shows.
Yeah, so many cooking shows. So I didn't see, like, I haven't seen any network TV. I'm catching up on everything.
That's so great.
Like, I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld. I've never seen an episode of Friends. I've never seen an episode of The OC before.
Of course.
So I was like, you know what? Let's live life. Did you watch The OC?
I sure did, baby. Because this is my exact, like, I'm 7 years older than you. So this was like my exact, actually, I was a bit too old. It was my sister who's 3 below me. That was the perfect generation age for the OC. So she was actually way more obsessed with it than I was.
Yeah.
I was a fan. I dabbled. But my sister was like, oh my God, like obsessed with Adam Brody and had a pillowcase with his name.
No way.
My mum got a pillowcase specially made with a love heart and it said Mrs. Adam Brody on it for her. Like, I remember loving it. I remember when it came out, it was just like life-changing. It was the first like really gritty fucking drama for teens.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And the big moment for me that I remember from the entire series is when Olivia Wilde's character came in.
And
her name is Alex. And she was cool. She was bi.
Yes.
And that was the first time I'd seen a bi person on screen, for sure. And I was a little baby bi myself, just figuring it out in my head. And then she had like cool colored hair and I just wanted to be her.
Yeah.
And I think that probably was a lot of bi awakenings was Alex / Olivia Wilde's character on the OC.
Sense. I was so surprised at that storyline for like 2003 to be like, yeah, whatever. It's like you're going to experiment with this. Like that's normal. It's like, really, do you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Although now in hindsight that I'm on the other side of that phase of the show, they are kind of like, it shows how crazy you were. You were experimenting with bisexualism.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
It's not as normalized as it might be, say, now.
Yes.
And the other big moment I remember was, of course, SNL doing the sketch, ripping off the what you say.
Yes.
Scene.
Which is what kicked this off on my Instagram story.
Yes.
Is because that was the first time I saw that scene and the build up and everything for it.
Nuts.
It's nuts. But this is the thing is I was so – when Trey, Ryan's brother, came on the scene, yep. I was like, finally, a man that is attractive to an adult woman.
Well, true. Yeah, good call.
Like I understand how like true. Adam Brody
not
and –
not Sandy?
Sorry, I forgot.
You forgot about Sandy Cohen? I still remember
I have to forget because I'm trying
names.
To be faithful.
That's true.
To my husband.
Trey, Ryan's brother's last name.
Yes.
I don't know what his last
name is. Howard.
Okay.
So, because like Ben McKenzie and Adam Brody, it's like, I understand like as a teenage girl why you would find those boys cute and Trey scary.
Yes.
As an adult woman, I love it. I want to be scared.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
There's something.
He's a scorny king.
Yeah. And then, of course, he assaults someone. I was like, oh, well, that ruins it for everyone, doesn't it? As it always does. But so when he got shot, I was like, no, he can't be. There's no redemption.
Yes. Did he die?
No.
No.
Spoilers.
I can't remember.
For a TV show that came out over 20 years ago. He did not die.
Okay.
But so I was like, this is ridiculous. Trey should have been cast as Ryan. And I posted about it. And I got so much backlash.
Really?
Alexia, there was people, I was like, I didn't put on these things. Like, do I need to go to jail? Because I'm attracted to Trey Atwood. And people were like, yes, go to jail. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Can I confess?
Yeah.
When I saw that story of yours last night, I genuinely had just an instinct visceral reaction of like, what are you doing, Trey? I haven't watched this show in 20 years. Okay. I don't have an opinion, but it's just so ingrained in me that Trey's the bad guy. And my genuine reaction was, Beck, come on.
Yeah.
And then I caught myself, what are you doing? I don't care.
Yeah, you're right.
She was a bad girl.
Fucked up. It was literally going to be my next line. I did some bad things. It's been in my head all week.
Me too. Every day since we recorded that episode talking about JoJo Siwa. Come as a bitch. I should have known better. It is catchy.
It is, unfortunately.
And we have to thank that Brit lady for that.
Yes. So anyway, sorry to anyone who was upset or disappointed in me. I want to say that I was
attracted. You're not alone. I was too.
I'm attracted to Logan Marshall Green, okay, not Trey's character.
Okay.
After a lot of explaining.
Discourse.
I'm talking messages like taking up the whole screen and I loved it. I just want everyone to know I loved every second of it.
People put their ass into it. Love that.
People were talking about how someone had a great
point. You unlocked core memories for a whole generation last night, dude.
Honestly, it was so joyful and spicy and exciting. Someone made the great point of, they were like, no, Ryan's character isn't meant to be dark and mysterious. It's meant to be he is smarter than all of this, and that's why he's accepted into high society. And he needs to play low, like, energy because it plays well off Seth. If he was too dark, he would bully Seth and it wouldn't make sense. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's an excellent point.
That's a great idea. I wasn't thinking about the wider cast.
Of course. The wider dynamics.
About my pussy.
Of course.
And that's when you run into trouble, gals.
He can't brood as well as Ryan. I'm sorry.
I don't know, though. Yeah? I'll be honest. Ben McKenzie, he's now at season three, he's gotten a lot better at acting. But the first season, I was like, he's got the wrong eye line. He's looking in the wrong direction. He's like, you could tell, like, when he finished his line, he was like, and I'm not being the character. And yes. Just going dead face. Like, no.
Acting is reacting.
Yes. Stay in the moment. Stay present. Who was your favorite character in the OC?
I was a Seth girly.
Yeah, we all were. He is such an incel.
Really?
Oh my God. This is like.
So, not just a nerd.
No. He's like obsessive and controlling of Summer.
I love this retrospective.
And
look.
Like when she like doesn't talk to him, he'll like spin out and talk to another girl or like.
Oh, do, I like, remember that.
He like wrote that. He wrote a whole comic book for her that was like. It's like she opened up a sketchbook. They were not dating, and she found a sketchbook of his that had hundreds of drawings of her.
Oh shit. But back then it was so romantic.
Yes.
Oh, I love this.
Also, I wish I could remember everyone's name because it was so good. Someone was like, making Seth Cohen the love interest is the reason I'm in therapy for dating such horrible men. Because that's what we were all, like, taught was, and, like, not just in the OC, but heaps of shows growing up. It was like, yep, that's love. Well, he won't stop calling. That's love.
I see, all my memory of Seth Cohen is just a lovely little nerd guy who managed to land the hot chick. No. He was probo?
No, he's obsessive with her. And then when he gets her, he doesn't want her. And then, like, they're, like, up and down and, like, they, yeah, they do have, like, a lot of cute moments. Mm-hmm. But I will say it's peppered in with so much more insecurity and, like, fuck around from him more so than her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
It's so, it's such a good show.
Where are you up to now?
I am coming up to the end of season 3. Spoiler alert, I have not gotten to when Marissa dies. I know that happens.
Oof, yeah.
I knew that when it happened, and I wasn't even allowed to watch Channel 10, which it was on. I just, everyone was like, Marissa died. I was like, who the fuck is Marissa?
And then she joined us on Neighbours.
Yeah.
Just a quick 20 years
later. Is
she
around? We should get her in.
We should get her in.
I want to ask her. I'll be like, okay, so how did you feel about Ben McKenzie's acting season 1?
And so who's, do you ship Ryan and Marissa?
No. God, no. The only good relationship was Sandy and Kirsten in season 1 and 2. Season 3, it's gone a bit dicey.
Ooh, is there a cheating?
Like, this is the thing, is Sandy like nearly cheats on her.
Fuck off.
And I was like, what? Where is the Sandy Cohen I know and love?
Our dad. Where's our dad?
Where is our dad? Where is father? What is he doing right now?
Father, where are they?
I will say I also love Melinda Clark, who plays Marissa's mum. Mm,
she's great.
She's currently my favourite character.
Yeah,
in
cool.
season 3.
I can see her. She's a beautiful woman.
She's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And also what I'm really liking about it is that everyone is like, you know, Botox and filler isn't as popular around this time. It's like everyone's definitely still getting something done.
Interesting.
But people have like Julie Cooper, the character, has like lines on her face and like you texture. Can see her pores and texture, but she's still like an extremely beautiful woman. And like,
I love that.
It's so lovely to see. I also think is Mick G, who is the EP, also is the director of one of my favorite movies of all time, Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and by all accounts, great guy to work with.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, actually, speaking of our Quiet On Set follow-up, I've never heard anything about behind-the-scenes bullshit going on the OC, like you hear with a lot of these other, like, teen shows. Mm. Yeah, I've never heard anything. I mean, there could be, and I could eat my words again, but that's never been a big scandal that I've heard of. Like, yeah. I know Misha had a really hard time post the OC.
Did she?
Well, yeah. I think she had, like, some drug problems and drinking, like, child star stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think she never really made good again. Like, I think basically it was that thing of, like, she was the biggest star in the world at that time. She had the world at her feet and it didn't happen for her. And people say it's like the drug sabotage, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I will say eating disorders, that's big on the show. Not talked about, but people are going from like, oh, she looks healthy to I can see bones.
Ooh, I do remember that from your show. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like episode 2. There was one point I was like, I think I can see her shoulder joint. Oh, like, damn. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might have been a big thing as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the early 2000s. That was...
Who
of us didn't? But I am literally loving it. It's one of my favorite rewatches.
Mm.
And it's just so... Every episode is so insane. Every episode, it's like there's just like the craziest drama.
Cool.
It's so fun. I have heard, though, that it does get bad after Marissa dies.
I was going to ask how many seasons are there?
There's 6 in total.
Yeah, I think I might have dipped out after she died, to be honest. I can't remember anything without her in it.
And I think that's what I will do, respectfully.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm still a while away from that. And I just want everyone to know, if you want to join me on the journey, please.
I kind of do.
Come on. It's so good. And also, you know what I miss?
Mm.
It's fucking bands featuring in shows.
Yes.
Like, there was, like, The Killers were on an episode, Modest Mouse was on an episode, Death Cab for Cutie were on an episode, The Subways. I was like, these are sick bands.
Do you know what I would love for you to do a rewatch on, and this even more solidifies that, is Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, shit. I got to season 2.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And then it got too much stress. At the end of the day.
It's a beautiful rollercoaster of emotions. You really have to not have it anything else going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas the RC can leave it on the background. It's like,
true. Oh, Marissa, Ryan.
That's true. Whereas the Grey's Anatomy is actual, like, grown up, real life grown up problems.
Yeah. It's like if the OC just add on, like, a bunch of cancer and way more people dying.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no.
And actual, like, divorces and family breakups. And
yeah.
People losing limbs. And yeah, it's a great show, though. And I do, like, I'm not a music guy myself, but I do know that especially the earlier seasons of Grey's platformed heaps of cool bands.
And yes.
Like, that was kind of their thing. Well, the Snow Patrol, If I Lay Here, was made famous because of
Yes. And Grey's. How to Save a Life.
How to Save a Life, yeah.
And the reason it got famous? Mm. Is because one of the producers went and saw them live and was like, that's a really good song. I'm going to put it in the show. And that's how they blew up.
I wonder if that happens anymore. That's really cool, like, lore, you know? Like, that's cool shit.
Yeah.
You don't hear about that kind of stuff anymore.
Don't bloody hear about it.
Everything's online, so no one's just going to shows anymore. They're just like, I saw that guy on TikTok, and he could be good in the show.
Bring him on.
Ah.
Anyway, I love it. Dive on in. Yes, I will be doing more problematic takes on my Instagram story, okay? That's going to happen.
God, the 2000s were a good time.
God, they were.
For television. Speaking of the 2000s for television, Community is a show.
Yes.
And also a concept.
And also a concept, but we're talking on the Screen Queens podcast about the show. You have news for me about this?
I have news. Very exciting. Very quick. I don't have a lot of information, but basically Alison Brie was on a Bravo show called Watch What Happens Live, and Alison Brie has confirmed that there is a script to the Community movie. It has been completed. And she said it's very funny.
Oh,
and the Community
shit.
Movie is definitely apparently getting made.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
Very cool.
That was such an iconic cast, except for Chevy Chase. I mean, who is an icon, but a piece of shit.
Yeah. An iconic piece of shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So it's very cool. So no dates have been set for filming yet, but it's very cool for Community fans because a big Easter egg, well, I mean, the whole show is filled with Easter eggs. Like, you could watch the show 10 times over and still find new things that the creators put in there in the background, all that kind of stuff, or linked up from previous seasons. But a long-running gag in the show was Abed was obsessed with the phrase 6 seasons and a movie, and that was always meant to be like a meta thing. He was referring to another show originally. I can't remember which one it was, like a show within the show, but it became like a long-running gag that he would just be obsessed with the concept of 6 seasons in a movie. So it became this thing that, like, that's the plan for Community. And Community ended like 10 years ago with season 6, which we don't talk about because it sucked, but it still had 6 seasons, and now they're finally making the movie. So everyone's like, 6 seasons in a movie, we're doing it.
Oh, shit.
Living up to the lore of it.
Oh, my God. And people don't mess around when they announce stuff on Watch What Happens Live.
Really? Okay.
Oh, it's a massive show. Oh, it's fucking huge.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's like the one.
I'm not in the Bravo world, but I should be.
If you want, no, that's like where most reality TV news comes from.
Yeah.
And I love Alison Brie. She's the one that's married to
Franco.
Yes.
Mm.
I watched a video of them on YouTube the other day, and I was like, you guys are such a hot, fun couple.
So funny.
I want to be you so bad.
I really like Alison Brie.
Cool. All right.
So to wrap up.
Yes.
Coachella.
Happened last week. Doja Cat headline was the first female rapper to headline, and her set was amazing. Did you see the video of her with all the wings?
No, I haven't seen the things with the wings.
It's really cool. She comes out and she's wearing this outfit that's like all like long blonde hair. Ooh. And then like all of her dancers are all covered in long blonde hair, and they all like move as like one like being. It's Doja Cat. It's fucking sick. Awesome. Someone who I now am like, she's an industry plant with how much stuff I'm seeing of her. Mm-hmm. Sabrina Carpenter, who opened for Taylor Swift, and you know the Olivia Rodrigo driver's license song?
Yes.
So that was written about Sabrina Carpenter taking her boyfriend.
I did not know that.
Yes. And then Sabrina released a song like in response to that went off, of course. But this is the thing, is like, I'm very convinced that narrative was manufactured and pushed and has been used to propel them into success.
To propel both of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, hugely.
Do you think, because I love thinking like, what's real, what's PR? I just love analysing that. Do you think that they would have been in on it together as a PR move to have this beef? or it's just no, happened. I don't they know just that both far. Lent. No, but what do you think? Or did it just happen and then that both teams have been like, let's use this to our advantage?
I think they would let each other know. Like, yeah. I think they would be like, I'm going to do this. And they'd be like, okay.
All right. Well, me too.
Yeah, go for it then. Because there's, and she's also, she's very pretty. She's a very good singer.
And I know she did, she was very beloved when she opened for Taylor.
Yes.
Here in Australia, right? Yes. Yeah, I saw it everywhere.
Yeah. And, but she's dating Barry Keoghan.
Whoa.
You didn't know this?
No.
It's been going on for like a year.
I'm sorry. I'm on a different side of TikTok.
Sorry. That's okay. I got upset.
That's okay.
I got upset.
That's all right.
I wasn't okay. I love you.
We'll work through it.
All right. But so she's dating Barry Keoghan, and which is a little bit Ethan Slater-y because he had a baby not too long ago. And then...
Can we have no one?
Yeah, he's 31, she's 24, which is not the craziest age gap, yeah. But...
It is one.
It is one. That's an excellent point. It is one.
Can't argue with that.
So anyway, I've seen 9 million videos of her set, and then there's a video of her flirting with him on stage. Like, she gives him a little wave and a wink, and he's just like, oh, my God. And I'm like, at first I was like, oh, this is cute. And then I saw it 900 times. I was like, oh, this is now feels planted.
Okay.
And to for people to get invested in this romance, to get invested in her music.
Wink stuff, did that happen at Coachella?
Yes. Yeah, while she was doing her set on stage. And then this is another thing that happened for Sabrina Carpenter's set that bothered me.
I mean, it's a great name though, Sabrina Carpenter. She sounds like a famous person.
And then she wore a shirt that said Jesus was a carpenter. You know, come on. She's funny. She's funny. She's very funny, I will say.
That's,
her stage antics are brill.
That's, it's very likable.
Yeah.
Very likable.
I know, this bitch. Mm. But so then someone was holding up a sign that was like, please, please play Espresso. And you're not allowed to bring signs to Coachella.
Oh.
That's like a very common.
Really?
Yeah, because it obstructs people's view. Of course. And people pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to be there.
Yeah, right.
Which is a great festival rule.
Yeah.
I think it's at most festivals, actually.
And any tall people must crouch.
Please, for the love of God. And I was like, this is a big fuck off sign. And then I looked up and was like, Espresso was released that day. I was like, who's this person holding the sign? And it's this woman. And I was like, where do I know her from? I look back at the Barry Keoghan video. She's the one hanging out with Barry. She's friends with Sabrina. She was planted in the audience.
I love this.
So she had to, like, someone from her team or her friend come out and hold the sign so she could be like, oh my God, my fans. Look how much my fans love me. I released a song today. Love. That's how popular I am. Song. You didn't know how popular
I
am?
They listened to it. They got the texters. They got the paper. They made the sign all within one day. That's how much they love it.
Yeah, that's how. God, she's got so many fans. You don't know. You weren't aboard. Oh, my God. You only got here a moment ago. Like, it's embarrassing. She's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it's all manufactured. And this is another thing.
You should put that on TikTok, by the way.
I will.
That's an excellent theory. Bitch. Well, not a theory. You did some FBI work and you fucking figured it out.
That's right. Smut gal. Mm-hmm. Smut gal. Another thing that artists are doing now is creating their own fan accounts. So this started with...
That makes sense.
Yes.
Yep.
So there's like Taylor Swift, who was not at Coachella. She has Taylor Nation, which started as a fan account and now is like her official second account.
Ah.
And I know Sabrina Carpenter has an account that it's like, whoa, this person is full-time posting every single clip of Sabrina Carpenter.
How they get their little hands on them all so quickly. It's like almost like there's a Dropbox somewhere.
Mm. It's almost like it's their full-time job. So that's another tactic that people are using.
Love that.
I
just love learning the behind the curtainness of how all this shit works.
Yeah.
It's so messy and dirty and like they run their own fan accounts. Oh, they're just like us. I love it.
Also clean and calculated and planned, which is like, I don't, you know, it's like, it's how you do it.
Oh, yeah. I don't begrudge it. Yeah.
So why not? But just so everyone knows, when you're like, what? Why do I keep getting, you know, some sponsored videos from this fan account? It's like, it's because someone from
their team.
One of the record labels. I was going to say one's name, but I won't.
Ooh, T.
Just pushing them all the time. Anyway, enough about industry plants. Someone who just generally fucked up. Do you hear about Grimes?
No.
Okay, so Grimes, girl, she's not well.
Okay.
I mean, she's had to possibly three of Elon Musk's babies.
You can't be well.
You can't be well. But she was doing a DJ set and she got up and she was like, first of all, she came out in a big mechanical spider.
Okay.
Which was really cool, obviously. Yeah, sounds cool. But then she got up to do a DJ set and she was just like, ah, none of my tracks work. And she's like, ah, this one's in double time. Like, and she's like screaming in the mic and just be like, sorry, everything's out of like whack and I don't know what's going on. And then what has happened now is every single DJ in the whole world is looking at the footage and being like, oh yeah, she just showed up and didn't have anything planned for Coachella.
No.
She wrote down spider, question mark, and then she showed up.
Oh my God. See, I love that too. Celebrities being checked on their shit.
Yeah.
Because people, there are experts around watching it now.
Yeah. Also, I'm like, Grimes, just play the tracks, girl. You got some great songs.
Isn't that the whole thing of DJs? Like, that's the thing that they can do?
Do what Paris Hilton does.
Sure.
I'll still go watch her DJ.
Of course. It's the experience, especially at Coachella.
Yeah.
It's part of the experience of the week.
Yeah.
Just play some tracks.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Mm. But my favorite. Do you know of an artist called Chapel Roan?
I have heard that name, that is for sure.
Okay, she is the next Lady Gaga, Madonna.
Oh, she's I've seen her.
Fucking, okay, she's amazing. I'm obsessed with her.
Great.
Her set was fucking so sick. She came out in this like business like plaid suit and then had like, she like stripped off into this like outfit that's like, I'm going to describe it to you and you're going to be like, is that like a mentally unwell person? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is that a toddler that got to dress themselves? Okay. Leopard print exercise tights.
Yes.
Yes. A leather diaper, I'm guessing.
Okay.
An oversized t-shirt that says, eat me.
That's it? Wow. That was her Coachella outfit?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It looks like a bloody chastity belt.
Yes. And it works.
It does work.
That's how fucking fierce this bitch is.
Damn.
Ah! Oh, I love her.
She's like a punk Ariel.
If you haven't heard of Chapel Roan, here's what you need to do. You need to go and you need to listen to Pink Pony Club right now, okay? And then you need to listen to Good Luck Babe. And then if you are a woman or queer, listen to Femininomenon.
Okay.
That will get you started where you need to go. Okay. For more information, come directly to my social media and I will lead you through.
For any Chapel Roan and or OC chats.
Yes, thank you.
Fun.
Yes. So that's my little Coachella wrap up.
Thank you, my love. And are you excited for Swiftie album that is being released today as we speak?
Jonathan, I wasn't even going to bring it up because I literally, it was released like an hour ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't had time to listen to it.
Okay. Poet Society.
So you would think. You would think. It's just a little bit too close to that. It's the Tortured Poets Department.
Ooh, yeah.
Which I'm like.
You've got a poet and you have a describing word in front of it and then you have their location after it.
Yeah.
You can't. Oof, yeah.
I think everyone has at least once said, oh, yeah, the Taylor Swift album, the Poets Society.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to listen to it because my life finally just evens the fuck out but this weekend onwards. So I have time now. I'm going to listen to it. Let's review it for next week.
Great. Well, I have to let you know in advance, it is a double album.
Okay. Maybe you should leave like the highlights.
I think 30 songs in total. I think if you just listen to the first one, you know what? You listen to whatever you goddamn like. It doesn't have to be in order.
Do you send me some recos if there's some ones specifically you want to talk about?
I love it. I love it.
Great.
I love it. All right. Did we cover everything? Was that all the things?
That's everything.
Well, thank you so much. Join us on Wednesday where we are talking about the new show, Baby Reindeer, and also the Curb Your Enthusiasm
finale. Yes. Join us on Wednesday for that.
All right. We'll see you then. We love you.